You Can Handle Anything, episode number 361. Welcome to the You Can Handle Anything podcast. I'm your host, Shira Gura, and I know firsthand what it feels like to get hijacked by your emotions, keeping you from fully enjoying the moments and people in your life. In this podcast, I'll bring you into my world through personal stories, showing how you can remain calm and in control in the face of everyday emotional moments, ensuring you handle those situations without regret. After all, your life is built on moments, and I'm here to help you make the most of them. Let's get started. Hello, my dear listeners, and thank you so much for joining me today. So just a few days ago, we celebrated the bar mitzvah of our youngest child, and it was an amazing celebration. It literally couldn't have gone smoother. And it was an event that my husband and I literally were able to enjoy the moments of because of all the planning ahead of time and because of the enormous amount of support that we received from our friends in the community. There was a lot of stress leading up to the event, mostly for me because I was the organizer of the event. And so I had a lot of details in my mind that I had to manage. And I found myself using the unstuck method multiple times in order to keep me from getting hijacked by my emotions. Honestly, there were so many stories I could share with you leading up to this event, so many really good, juicy, and relatable stories that just continue to prove my point that getting emotionally unstuck is an ongoing process. It's not just a one-time thing that you learn, you do it once, you know, you move on with your life. No, it's something that you do as often as you can remember, many times a day even, in order to stay calm and balanced and grounded and in control. And the story that I want to share with you today actually happened the morning of the bar mitzvah, just minutes before the prayer services were about to start. And the reason I wanted to bring this story to you this week is because just this week, I coached someone in my Living Deliberately membership community on this very topic, and one of my kids faced a situation where the consideration that I offered was the same. So that was three of the same kind of ideas in the same week, and I just saw that as a sign. Okay, so what happened? Well, I was mentioning in last week's episode that I live on a kibbutz in Israel, and the events that we have here on our kibbutz are set up and arranged and taken down by the kibbutz members. There is no fancy hall, no caterer who sets up the things, just us, right? The members of this community. And so it's on the host of the event to decide how things will look and instruct those helping accordingly. Actually, a lot of the stress that I experienced had to do with me wanting to set up this celebration in terms of the food after the prayer services in a completely different format than I think anyone has done before. But once I consulted with a friend who has a good eye with these things, I really felt good with it. And what I did was I wrote down the instructions on a piece of paper so that when Saturday morning came along, it would be very easy to set everything up because all they would need to do is follow the instructions. Now, I'm going to tell you what those instructions were, okay? So the bar mitzvah celebration actually took place outside because the weather was perfect for an outside event. This outside area is rectangular in size. So when you walk into this area, the rectangle is like long ways. Okay, so can you picture you're walking into this area? It's like a long rectangle. So here were my instructions. To take 8 of the square tables, because we have both round tables and square ones, and set the 8 square tables along the left side of the rectangle. Okay, it's kind of side by side, but with space in between. So that would be on the left side of the rectangle, and this would be the area where the food was going to go on. It was really important to me to separate the food onto separate tables so that not everyone would trample on one another when it was time to eat, which unfortunately often happens in my community. So those 8 tables would go down the length of the rectangle on the left-hand side, okay? And the second part of the instructions was to take out the 8 round tables and set them up in the rest of the space, you know, just to fill in the space with those 8 tables so that people could sit down and eat at them. And I also mentioned they could leave space at the very end of the rectangle, like the far end for people who want to sit on the grass, because this whole rectangular area, by the way, is all grass area. Okay, so you got it? 8 square tables lined up on the left-hand side using the full length of the rectangle, and this would be for the food, and then 8 round tables in the middle, spread out for everyone to sit down to eat at. Okay, so this is what happened. Prayer services start at 9, and a few friends of mine arranged to meet at 9:15 to start setting up these tables, which we would need for the celebration at around like 11:30. So I saw them setting things up from afar, and I walked over to thank them. But when I got close enough to actually see what was going on, I was surprised. Why? Because they did the complete opposite of what was written down explicitly on my instructions. They put the 8 round tables on the left-hand side, which are much bigger, by the way, than the square tables. So they didn't even fit to go down the left-hand side. So what I saw were like 2 rows of 4 round tables down the left-hand side. And actually, it's not just the left-hand side, because at this point, now it's like in the middle of the space, right? Because it didn't fit. And then there were the 8 square tables lined up on the right side of the event in one row. And I was like, huh? And I have to say, I was so proud of myself. I mean, all things considering, right? We have been planning this event for months. I did everything possible to be organized and diligent and make decisions ahead of time so things would run smoothly the day of. And I was like, how could this be possible? Like, I mean, not only were the instructions written down, but my friend who helped me set this idea up and, you know, in the first place, he was the one who suggested it, was there, like telling everyone what to do. And I was so proud because I took a pause. I just paused and I smiled and I said, hey guys, because there were 4 people there at the time. I said, I just want to thank you for waking up early to be here to help. I am so grateful. That's what I said. And of course, they responded back with smiles, you know, feeling appreciated. But there was a part of me that felt stuck because on the one hand, all the tables were out. They're, you know, heavy tables. They were all set up. And on the other hand, this is not what I wanted. And I was nervous because I didn't want to be rude. And I didn't want them to hate me or get mad at me or talk about me saying I'm some annoying friend who is not grateful about anything, right? On the other hand, this is not what I wanted. In fact, I didn't even know what they were planning. I didn't even understand it. And I felt so conflicted, right? Should I say something? Should I not say something? Should I say something? Clearly, I was stuck. So I used the tool that helps me in situations like this, the unstuck method. So after taking a stop and giving myself full permission to feel upset, I checked in with what I was actually thinking. You know, situations like this can happen so fast that you have no idea what you're thinking, which is why it's important to slow down and check in with your own mind. So I noticed myself saying, you know, you can't say anything. They're going to be annoyed with you. Just be grateful for the help you got. But all of those weren't 100% true, right? They were just stories in my mind. And so I considered expressing myself. Now, here's the thing. I think the reason that so many people are afraid to express themselves, and again, this was reverberated in my coaching this week and with talking with one of my friends, is because of the fear of how the other person might receive your words. And the reason we have this fear is that we believe that when people are self-expressed, it has to come out harshly. But who's to say it has to come out harshly? Can't we be self-expressed and at the same time be kind, be grateful, be appreciative, be open-minded, be collaborative, be curious, right? Why does self-expression have to necessarily equal harsh? Well, guess what? It doesn't. And so I decided to express myself in a very warm, kind, and even jovial, you know, kind of way. That's what I did. I put a smile on my face and I was kind of half laughing when I said, hey guys, like, this looks a little different from what we planned, right? And my friend who was the one in charge said, yeah, well, we were thinking that the square ones wouldn't fit, so we decided to do it differently. We think that this works. And in my mind, I was like, no, this does not work. This looks like it's going to be complete chaos. But that's not what I said. And it's not how it came out. And instead I said, okay, I hear what you're saying. But I actually think it will fit like the original idea. And I think it'll flow so much better as we had originally planned. And to be honest, I think it's way more enjoyable to sit at round tables than to sit at the square ones. And then came the hard part, the ask. I said, so do you guys think that you could swap the tables around? I knew it was a big ask because the tables are heavy and there were only four of them to help, and it was all set up by that point. But the response was quick and friendly. Sure, sure, we can do that. And I said, thank you. And then I walked to the prayer services feeling complete with what happened. Now, do I know if they ended up complaining or talking about me behind my back? I don't know. And you know what? That is not my responsibility. My responsibility was to be the person that I wanted to be in that moment. And in that moment, I wanted to be kindly and lovingly self-expressed. And I was. And I'm glad I did, because otherwise, I would have regretted holding myself back and then holding a grudge against them, which wouldn't have been their fault because I wouldn't have told them that there was a problem. As I walked to the prayer services, I held myself in kindness for getting stuck on surprise and getting stuck on being upset. But it happens. It's normal. It's a very human thing to get stuck on our emotions, and it's fine as long as we get ourselves unstuck as swiftly as possible. And that was it. At around 11:30 after services, we came back outside to that outside area where all the food was now set up on the square tables on the left-hand side, and people were sitting down in the middle around the round tables. There was plenty of room for people to walk around, and it was simple and easy and enjoyable. Ta-da! Right? Thank God for the unstuck method. Seriously, I am so grateful to have this process in my back pocket to use in sticky moments like this. So, my dear friends, do you ever have moments in your life where you want to express yourself, you want to say something to someone, but you're afraid of either how it'll come out or how the other person might take it? Can you consider this week being self-expressed? Not just being self-expressed, but being self-expressed in a certain way, like in a kind way, or a loving way, or an empathetic way, or a curious way. Now, this may be unfamiliar to you, and you might want to practice it ahead of time to feel more secure, but I will tell you, it is worth every moment of practice, because the risk of not being self-expressed when you want to be self-expressed is kind of big. Right? The result is usually you end up resenting the other person when it's not even their fault because they can't know what's on your mind, right? Okay, my dear listeners, now that this event is behind me, I can get back into doing the final touches on the project that I have been sharing with you over the last few weeks. I am hoping to roll it out first to the current members of the Living Deliberately Circle later this week or early next week, and then I'm going to be sharing it with you. I am feeling so excited for you, for me, and in a very humble way, for the world. Stay tuned because it's coming soon. Thank you so much for choosing to be with me this week. Wishing you a wonderful rest of your week. And remember, you can handle anything. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the You Can Handle Anything podcast. If this podcast adds value to your life, I would be so grateful if you could spare 30 seconds to do three things. 1, follow or subscribe to the podcast. 2, leave me a rating on whatever podcast app you listen on. And 3, share an episode with a friend. Your support keeps the podcast thriving, and for that, I am truly grateful. I look forward to being back with you next week.